communicator Lucius Lucillus.
This sound was recorded on the 27th of August 1962, Sitter Rose, Crete, Medium Resnick Flint.
Already in anticipation.
Greetings, my child.
Greetings to you, Lucillus.
I trust that you have not been waiting too long.
No. I'm only afraid that you may not be able to come through.
Last time when we met, I promised to tell you, if possible, a little about that country which you now term Atlantis.
Oh, yes, please.
I presume the name that has been given Atlantis springs from some far gone time when, for some reason or other, the Atlantic Ocean was named, and in some non-distant time previous in man's history, when land joined the continent of Europe and the Americas, when there was no sea but here and there only rivers and swamps, there was this country which man has since called Atlantis. It was not so named in those times. Indeed, it is so long ago in history that very little now is remembered, for it is man's earliest beginning, almost as man. And there was a great continent overrun by many tribes, often, as one might well imagine, at war one with another. There were vast spaces where there was no habitation, and great forests, and great mountains, great deserts. And after, perhaps one would have traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles, you would come upon a form of civilization. But not all the tribes, not all the peoples were near unto the animal kingdom. There was one group called the Lemurians, who had advanced far indeed before that time, or so it would seem in comparison to the rest of the nomadic tribes and human beings such as they were that dwelt in that time. And because of their great superiority, not only in numbers, but in knowledge, in advancement mental and spiritual, these souls had great power. But in this group, Lemurians, there were some who were discontented, some who were ambitious, and some who delved into what you would term today black magic. They were of a very no order, and yet they had great power. Lemuria and the Lemurians were a great race of people, as I've already said, far ahead of their time, great in wisdom and knowledge and experience. They had learned to harness the elements, they had learned to utilize forces in nature, which even today are only just beginning to be discovered again. In fact, centuries after Atlantis was swamped and became sea, the ancient Chinese rediscovered many of the things that were common knowledge to the Lemurians. But there was a faction among the Lemurians of a group of individuals who had delved into the occult and had utilized it for base ends, and they had assumed eventually at least a form of power, and they, in conjunction with many of the nomadic tribes, brought together a great force and attacked the capital or the citadel of Lemuria. And in consequence, it was sacked, it was burnt, and untold numbers of peoples were killed, and the lower elements under this group took command. And held sway for many years, many generations of time, until a great catastrophe befell the world in the form of a meteorite, or at least something from outer space, something from the heavens, flashed and fell and hit Lemuria and caused it to sink, caused it to disintegrate, and it became a massive sea. I'm telling you this vast history in a very small portion, trying if I can to give you a rough outline so that you can have at least some picture by which to build the realization of a life long extinct, of a people's long extinct. And in particular, I wish you, as it were, to fill in certain details gradually, especially in regard to yourself, in regard to the medium, and in regard to certain other peoples. Because, as I think I told you previously, to my knowledge, your first incarnation was in what you call Atlantis, as indeed was my first incarnation, and the incarnation of others linked with us. We had taken a place in this Lemuria in which we were progressing far beyond the peoples of our time and of our age. We had discovered many things which benefited the peoples of that time. As I've told you, our cities were vast, were built in great dignity. We had great architects, we had great artists, were great individuals who brought all the resources and their gifts and their hearts to create. And we had built up a great society, a great group of peoples whose knowledge was tremendous. And at the submerging of Liberia, the earth fell back thousands of years in consequence. But there were these factions, were these massive numbers of peoples who were illiterate, who were near unto the animals. Many of these tribes who lived in the wastelands, in huts, in caves, in the grounds, these were the lower elementals who had not progressed. They had very little brain power, and very little power of any degree. Their only talent, if it was a talent, was to ape the beasts in the fields, the wildlife, and they lived very much akin to the wildlife. Those in our midst who resented the goodness and the power of goodness and the wisdom and the realization that these peoples had of the communion with spirits of high degree, these peoples took upon themselves to overthrow. We did not have kings or queens or emperors, for we had gone far away from that idea. We lived in a harmonious state of being, where it was automatic. The certain souls, because of their nature, because of their obvious development on spiritual lines, automatically, you might say, became, in the sense, the heads of state. There were 10 houses, or 10 groups, if you like, of people who in the dim distant past before had been 10 tribes. And they had, by centuries of effort, developed and become a wise and wonderful people. And the tribes or the groups intermarried. And when we had what you would term formal government, one from each group would be chosen because of his or her merits. Women had equal footing with men. One of these tribes, or one of these groups, is the group to which you, I, and so many others belong. And I am speaking of this because I want, if I can, in our talks, to develop our history, to develop our lives and our works through these ages of time. Of course, when we talk about Atlantis or the Lemurians, we are talking about possibly 50,000 years ago at least. In certain parts of your world today, on all occasions, fossilized bones have been found. Vast animals roamed the wilds, the forests. And these, of course, were a great danger, especially to the nomadic people. Not so much perhaps a danger to the Liberians, to those of us who had civilized ourselves for generations of time. We built vast cities encircled by great walls which were impregnable. At the beginning of the downfall of the Liberia, were the few in number within our cities who in themselves resented the power, as they interpreted it, of the tribes. They were, as you would say perhaps today, the black sheep from the family. They were individuals who had not developed to any real degree, but followed in the wake of those more wise, and gave perhaps a semblance of wisdom, because living with it they could not help but partake of it. But they within themselves were of a lower order, and they banded together, and eventually, by their conniving overthrew, many of the cities. There were many souls in that time of which I speak, who are known to you under varying names, through varying times. You were then a daughter of one called Philomenus. Philomenus was one who in himself was a leader and a man of great wisdom and knowledge, one who had great respect, who commanded great regard and affection. You were his daughter, and I was his son, which would make us, therefore, brother and sister in this early incarnation of time. We had been born into a household where everything that one could wish was possible. We were taught the ancient wisdoms and the arts, and in this time of which I speak, music played a most important part in our lives. Music was a creative form, even in that time of which I speak, more civilized than it has been since, possibly. This may have happened, as I've told you in the past, be difficult to understand, and some things I will say to you will be difficult to realize, but I know of your great love and interest in music, and it is important, therefore, that I speak it, because in that day and age, music played an important part in the lives of the millions. Every household, every group brought forth individuals with great talents, some in a musical sense would compose, others would play on instruments long since forgotten, but whose tonal range was far superior to anything you know today. The nearest that one can say to that age in regard to music, of course, would be the music of the spheres, our spheres. We have, and we had then, great orchestras, great musicians, many instruments. Not as perhaps you might assume, just stringed instruments, but instruments of a nature which one can hardly begin to describe, because there is, in a sense, no way of describing them. But you and I were brought into the arts from childhood, in music, particularly with yourself, with myself. I was most interested in what you call painting, the art of decoration. The instrument that I speak through and use, he was himself an initiate in the temples, and we worshipped the one God, the one force, the one life, the creative and the life-giving. And we, in our temples, used music and color in a way which has never been used since on earth. The Lemurians were people who meddled in magnificence, but not in the sense that some might consider it used, not for ostentation, but for sheer love of beauty. For the Lemurians were a race of people who worshipped at the shrine of beauty. They saw beauty in all things, even in ugliness, and they endeavored, indeed, they strove desperately to help the less fortunate peoples and the tribes. It was difficult, for their wisdom was lacking. Indeed, their brain power was small. They were so like unto the wild animals. It is difficult to pierce their minds. It is difficult to create in them the desire for progress. And because they were similar in appearance to human beings, and we recognized them as our brothers and sisters, we tried to assist and to help them. And many thousands of the Lemurians, in consequence, lost their lives in these expeditions and in these attempts to help these lesser souls. All these things I'm trying to tell you are difficult for varying reasons, because there is much that I want to say that I cannot find any method or way in which I can depict or describe it to you. But what I am trying to convey to you is that when the evil overcame the good, when the Lemurians and the tribes were overcome by the lesser and the more animal-like humans, when it was an act of the divine, I am not prepared and cannot say. But all I know is that there was a great upheaval in the skies, and shafts of lightning, and great noise from out of the heavens came what appeared to be a shooting star, which as it approached the earth became in size enormous, like unto a ball of fire, and it did pierce the center of Atlantis, and did create like a volcanic eruption, and in consequence the land became like boiling mud, a boiling lava. And after many years, it ceased to exist as land, and it sank gradually and was overcome by the waters, what you now call the Atlantic Ocean. Sometime it is possible the sun adventurous spirits may descend into the Atlantic seas and unearth some of the treasures, or at least the remnants of what was once a great race of peoples. But it was the evil forces that were let loose in the Atlantis, because they killed all the Lemurians, all the peoples of wisdom, the goodness, who spiritually had become most wise, most developed. But it is often the way in life, whether it is in ancient Atlantis, or whether it is in modern times, in which you know it well, but quite often, for a time, evil overcomes good. For goodness seeks not power, goodness seeks not the things of the earth for the earth's sake. Goodness does not retaliate, goodness gives love. In all the great teachings of the great ones, the great philosophers, these things have been said, and all have suffered in consequence. But goodness, though it sometimes seems to diminish or be pushed aside, it rises. Because goodness is spiritual, and spiritual things do not die. The evil of the earth, the evil of men's minds, these things for a time hold sway. But when the time comes, goodness wins, because goodness itself must find its own reward, and it is always of a spiritual kind and not a material. Atlantis, which is so long ago, so dimly recorded and remembered even by souls on this side, nevertheless the tribes which I speak of, which we are part of, and one tribe in particular, we have gone through eons of time, through many experiences together, and we have brought out and have given forth, in consequence, much knowledge and wisdom to others. This generation in which you now exist, and the medium exists, and other souls know that you exist, each one of you are fulfilling a plan for opening doors that others may enter. And they will see through you the wisdom that you have found, from which you yourselves give forth to those who will receive. This is a time of great reward for you. You must not fail yourself. You must not fail to have faith in the realization that your life has been one of service, not perhaps as some would use the term service, that you have served in your own fashion and in your own way. Though your own life, as I've said, may not have been according to your own design, yet in a sense it was. For you chose to return to earth that you might fulfill, in some measure, some plan that had been conceived in the realm of spirit. In league with others and in cooperation. cooperation with others. You are now finishing that work which was started long ago. Do not ask me, for I cannot explain to you exactly how this has been done, for it is not for you even now to fully comprehend it. And those of the tribe or the house so long ago it started are still working as they did in ancient times for the upliftment of the lesser souls, the uninitiated, the undeveloped, the ignorant and the foolish and the unwise. And you are playing a part that is enabling not only yourself, but many other souls to bring about the fulfillment of a plan. Though you may feel that your part is an insignificant one or a small one, it matters not, though we do not consider it as such. There are others around you that you know of, and others that you have yet to know, who are playing a bigger part, or a more important part, as you see it. But it is because you are all important, each one, to the fulfillment of the plan of the house of the tribe, that you have chosen to return again and again, in different ages and different times, to bring enlightenment to a number of people, to give them courage and to give them inspiration, to search, to seek and to find, and in turn they themselves become the bearers of good tidings, and in consequence be uplifters of men, that they may give forth that light which you have seen and given yourself. The instrument I use is one such. There are others too, some whom you know and others that you know not of, but all have been brought together, some on your side and some on this. And we are all one peoples, one group that started so many, many, many centuries of time ago in ancient Atlantis. The tribe, or one of the tribes of Lemuria. You, my child, and I, and other souls, are continuing our work to bring wisdom, to bring enlightenment, to bring truth in the darkness of your world. Though your world has changed much over the centuries, no matter what changes may have come, the hearts and the minds of people remain much the same. There are those who dwell in darkness and do not see light. There are those who receive light and aspire in consequence to give light. But we are all serving and working and cooperating together. And the work of the instrument I use, which started long ago, which gradually now is undergoing changes, and doing indeed that which we hoped you would do, these things are beginning to take shape. And you shall see in the coming months, as I promised you, changes, surprising changes, and in regard to that what you term mediumship or psychism shall give to you such extraordinary proofs, but more important than proofs, revelations of the spirit, which will make for your happiness, so that you will have the satisfaction of knowing that when your time is due to leave forever the earth body, you shall leave it with the full realization that you have achieved, that your work has been accomplished, and the work of the Spirit continues throughout this. The links that bind us have been much to each other in so many different ways, and we are part of a great picture of which we are but small portions of the whole. He who created in the first instance and gave us life, gave us the ability to seek and to strive and to uplift ourselves. So much that is in the picture that has been created is of great beauty. Here and there are those who complement this picture by darkness and dreadness, as indeed it must well be. But even they who yet remain, and who have much yet to learn, they are our brothers and our sisters, and we shall so give to them that which we have found, that their light shall shine forth also, and we shall have accomplished much in consequence. And when all is finished and our work is done, that which we have created shall be beautiful to behold. You, my child, in the late years of this earthly life, have been given an opportunity that few may have, because you yourself, in conjunction with others, I may add, have made it possible, for you are fulfilling the task that has been set you. And you shall have the joy of seeing that task finished in some part, at least, before you join us. And you shall, from this side, eventually rejoice in what has been achieved, and shall be grateful for all the incarnations and the experiences that you have had, and the wisdom that you have found in consequence. And when you are enjoined here, with certain souls in particular who have been so much to you through past times, indeed shall you find that peace and that happiness that your heart seeks. These things that I speak to you about are realities. There are those in your world who do not comprehend. There are those who do not wish to know and understand. There are those who are held down by all manner of things, chiefly of things within themselves, because they are earthbound. We shall release, I hope, at least some from their chains. We shall open our eyes to some extent to truth, and we shall have the satisfaction of knowing at least that there shall be others who shall take our place and do our work, and we shall work with them and through them in the years that are yet to come. For our task is to save humanity, to bring peace, true peace, to bring knowledge, to bring truth, that mankind may find the path to reveal happiness of the spirit. We have great things yet to do, and when the time comes, these things shall be made apparent to you and to others. There are a few years yet left to you. Those few years that are left shall be years of great joy for you and great wisdom. We shall support you in all manner of ways, not only in the things of the mind and of the spirit, but we shall support you in the material sense in regard to your physical body, that it may continue to stand the stress and the strain of material things and of another, so that you shall have the joy of fulfillment of the spirit while yet upon earth. All these things that I have promised you, and all that others have promised you, shall in due course be revealed to you in patience and in love. We shall work together, and we shall find together the path of enlightenment and of truth, that we shall in turn help others to tread that path that we know is the real and sure path, the path of the spirit. And in the nation, My blessings to you, child, and I shall come again when you sit next. Whatever time you choose, if you choose the 3 in the hour, or the morning or the afternoon, or 9 or 10 or 11 or midnight itself, I shall come. My peace and my love be with you. Farewell.
Farewell, you sinner.
Bye-bye, Auntie Rose. See you again soon.